Good afternoon or good evening, depending upon when you're looking at this video. It's July 28th. And for those members of University Park who have recently been contacted by your deacon, we want you to know that we were asked by several members to just poll our membership to see how you feel about is it safe for the church to reopen at this time. And a substantial number of you have expressed reservations about opening. And that's all, of course, we love you. And because you're concerned, we hear your concerns. And so until further notice, we'll continue to just meet together through this means, through the church Facebook page, through the various other means that some of you have already been using. I love the way some of the ladies groups have been just texting and doing Marco Polo and doing Bible study through their phones and just checking on one another. And let me encourage you to continue to do that as we try to get through this COVID-19 pandemic season. I want you to know I feel nearly 100%. My last symptom with COVID-19 would have been July 13th, around that time. So here it is, July 29th, a good 16 days, over 2 weeks past my last symptom. I did not test negative when I tested almost a week and a half ago. But if you do research on COVID-19, you'll learn that it's possible to continue to test positive for up to 12 weeks if you've had a substantial case of COVID-19 like I did. But I just want to assure you, I feel almost 100%. Some people can detect that I have a little shortness of breath. Well, that's probably just a lingering effect of the attack of COVID on the lungs, but it's not slowing me down too much. I can assure you that. And I'd like us to turn our attention to this great salvation that we have. And as I've just wondered, you know, how can I encourage you during this time? Because we are facing new challenges all the time. It reminded me of the surprises that the people of Israel, as God was leading them through the wilderness, challenge after challenge came up. And of course, when they were tested, their faith was really found lacking. So much so that we know that ultimately, God called them an unbelieving generation. And we certainly don't want to fail to learn from the example that the Lord has left us about their own disobedience and unbelief. There's a lot to learn from the parallel of God dealing with Israel and the process of salvation that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. Of course, the people of Israel, the famous Exodus, the Passover is when the great story begins for them. And they celebrate their deliverance from the land of Egypt every year at the Passover feast, because we recall that they were slaves in the land of Egypt. Abraham had been told that his descendants would be enslaved for 400 years and mistreated, and afterward that the Lord would bring them out. So during the period of time when the nation of Israel living in Egypt was being enslaved and oppressed, the Egyptians were even killing the male children of Israel to try to hold the population down. And yet it just seemed like the more the people of Israel were oppressed, the more they multiplied, because God was working with them. And you know the story. God raised up a deliverer, Moses, and through God's own mighty hand of power, he struck Egypt with the 10 plagues, the last which of being the death angel, and he struck the firstborn male of every house in Egypt. But his own people, the nation of Israel, were spared because they had taken a lamb, and they sacrificed the lamb and placed the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, on the tops of the doorpost, on the sides of the doorpost. And when the death angel came through the land of Egypt, When he saw the blood, he passed over the houses of the Israelites and touched every firstborn male in the houses of Israel. And there was not in Egypt, and there was not a house in the land of Egypt that was not touched by the death angel. And there was great mourning. And that is when Pharaoh was broken and humbled. And in the middle of the night, he called for Moses and told him to get the people and take them out. And so God delivered them. Well, as believers, our salvation began also when the blood of Christ was shed on the cross, and through faith in God's Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God that's taken away the sin of the world, our bondage under the slavery of sin was broken. We're still tempted. We still live in a world. We still have weaknesses in our natural selves. But just as the nation of Israel was freed from the bondage to the Egyptians, we, through faith in the Christ's blood, we have been set free from slavery to sin. And now, just like the nation of Israel, we're being led. We receive the Spirit of God. Remember what happened to the people of Israel? After God brought them forth out of Egypt, God went before them in the form of a cloud by day, which provided shade for them as a nation, and that cloud would turn to a fire at night to provide light for them so that they could see in the wilderness. And that's how God led them. Well, we're also being led by God, by His Spirit. But like the people of Israel, God is having to lead us into a greater knowledge and understanding of who He is. God went forth before the people of Israel and led them to Mount Sinai. And there He spoke to them. There's where He spoke to them audibly first, if you remember the story. And the experience was so terrifying to them, they begged Moses to have the Lord speak to him, because they said if they heard His voice any longer, they were surely going to die. And so God agreed. God told Moses, "This is the people have said a good thing." And God revealed His ways to Moses and His laws to Moses, and Moses taught the people. Well, similarly, you and I have heard the gospel. We believe that God loves us, and that we were sinners, and that God on His own sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. And so we've been forgiven. We've been set free from our slavery to sin. But just like the people of Israel, there's so much that we need to come to know and understand. We've now entered into a covenant with God. We are the new covenant people. And we need to come to understand God, much like Israel needed to understand God. They knew, in theory, that He was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that He had worked and His favor was with their forefathers, but they knew very little of Him personally. And that's true for many of us. Now, some of you who are older, who are listening to this message, you've been learning the Lord. So this is just review for you. For those of you who are younger, sometimes it's good even for those of us who are older to review the basics. There's much of our Heavenly Father and His ways that we need to learn and grow in. And so through the church, it says in Ephesians chapter 4 that it was Jesus providing through the ministry of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers, that He was providing a means for the church to be built up, to be joined together and fitted unto a complete man, just a perfection process, a maturing process, so that we would grow up into a fullness of an understanding of who Christ is, and we'd become more and more like Him. And we would no longer remain infants, which are without an understanding, adequate understanding of who our Father is, blown and tossed by every wind of doctrine and the cunningness and the craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming, but that in all things we would grow up into Christ. And this is a process that we are in. And through the writings of the apostles that we've been left, through prophets, through the preaching of the gospel, through pastors and teachers, through evangelists, we have opportunities. Also, we have the Holy Spirit and the scriptures themselves. Through these means, God is teaching us about himself, bringing us into an ever greater understanding of who he is and his ways. And as you recall, that when the people of Israel were receiving this understanding through Moses and their instructions, they were to teach this to their children. They were to learn it themselves and teach it to their children. And so we, in a similar situation, as a family of Christ, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're trying to make sure that each of us understand the Lord and that we learn his ways. One of the major differences in the two covenants and the people of Israel is there, the law was given to the people of Israel on God himself wrote with his finger on tablets of stone the Ten Commandments, and then God dictated to Moses the many other commandments and instructions about feast days and how to live and social relationships and the very many more aspects of living as a covenant people. And Moses would write those down in the book of the law. And then Moses, with the help of the Levite priesthood, would instruct the heads of the household. And then the heads of the household would impart that knowledge to their family, their children. And this, the difference with the new covenant is we have the scriptures written for us in the form of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the difference that Paul and the writer of Hebrews makes and several others make in the New Testament is that instead of the law of God being written on tablets of stone, now God says in the new covenant that he will write his laws upon our hearts and upon our minds. And he does this through his Spirit, so that now we don't have an external law that we're being taught, merely taught through others. God himself imparts the knowledge of his law and his ways into our own understanding by the Holy Spirit. And every believer is given the Holy Spirit, which is the presence of Christ, the life of Christ, the grace and power and wisdom, the divine nature of Christ that we partake of. And as we learn to be led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and taught by the Spirit, as we learn to walk in the Holy Spirit and keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we enter into a transformation process where we start as infants with a very limited knowledge of forgiveness and salvation, which is wonderful, those beginning principles of God. But we grow, and as we grow in understanding and in wisdom, our mind begins to be renewed. And as our mind begins to be renewed, of course, our conduct and our character follow. As our thinking becomes cleansed by the Word of God, undergirded by the Word of God, as our understanding becomes infused with the truth of God, the truth, as we begin to know the truth and continue in it, begins to set us free from the ideas that we were handed down to. Peter calls it the empty way of life that's handed down to it by our forefathers. The ideas of the world and the ideas they have about what happiness is or how to find personal joy and fulfillment. We're taught by the Spirit of God as we grow in understanding that the more we give, the more we live. It's a beautiful process, because our salvation is not complete. Now, we're wonderfully forgiven, and we have the deposit of the Holy Spirit to as a guarantee of that which is still to come. But there is a great salvation still to come. Sorry, I'm tilting my glasses so to keep it, try to keep the glare of my own computer off, but they keep slipping down. So don't let that distract you like it's distracting me. But what's ahead for us? What is there still to learn? Well, the more we learn the ways of the Spirit, the more we come to a greater spiritual understanding, the more we see how to walk in this world without being corrupted by it, without becoming entangled in its affairs. And if we ever needed the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, it's now, because our own nation is so polarized and divided. There is such a divisiveness, such a spirit of aggressive division and hostility in our political world, and even in as a country. We seem to be divided into we's and they's, and these supporters versus these supporters, and there is many fomenting bitterness and anger, and it's ugly. And you and I, as believers, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to walk, and so that we can lift the people up in our government, on the federal level, on the state level, on the local levels. These men that are trying to bring about a resolution, they're trying to make advance policies and social justice, which are important, they need guidance. And we as believers need to be peacemakers. We need to pray for those in authority that they will be given the wisdom they need to deal with these very difficult social issues. They're complex, and it's not easy to be in that place of responsibility. And we don't want to sit back and simply be critics. We want to be those who lift up holy hands and pray for kings and governors and mayors and rulers, judges, and those that are in the medical field, in the policing field, those that are even responsible for their interaction with foreign governors, governments. Just, we need to be a people that have the Spirit of God guiding us so that we ourselves are not unsettled by the difficulty. But fortunately for us, this is this whole experience, this life now we have in Christ, is our wilderness time. We're not home. This earth, if you live here in the United States, if you're listening to this, this is just your residence. You're passing through this life. We're being led to a land of promise, just like the people of Israel, having been delivered from Egypt, having been brought into a covenant relationship with God. They were led to a place that God had promised, the land flowing with milk and honey, a promised land. And they had to journey through the wilderness to get there. Well, we're having to journey through this life, but there is a land that's ahead of us, a promise, the fullness of our salvation. And we're not going to find that fullness here on the earth. we get to experience God's presence with us. We get to experience His daily grace, and His grace is sufficient for us. But we are not immune from the tribulations and the trials and the difficulties and the pain and sorrow and suffering that this life causes us as believers to experience. What we have is that we don't have to experience any of this alone. We have the Holy Spirit, the life and the divine nature of Jesus Christ with us to strengthen us and help us. We have our brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage and exhort us and comfort us. And we are stronger together as a family in Christ than we are as individuals. But we need to remind one another that we're just passing through. This world is our wilderness. And there is a place that like our forefather Abraham in the faith, says he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. If he had been thinking about the city he had come from, Ur of the Chaldeans, he would have had opportunity to return. But he considered himself a stranger, an alien. But he was looking for the city built by God, and so are we. That city is called the New Jerusalem in the New Testament. We are looking for a time in our life when God Himself sends His Son from heaven. And His Son takes the throne and begins to reign upon the earth and orders all things according to God's righteousness. When He deals decisively with all rebellion, all evil, all those who cause stumbling, all those who've resisted, all those who've rejected his grace and His lordship, and all those who have longed for His appearing, including those who have fallen asleep in Christ, when they are all gathered together, when the dead in Christ arise, and those who are alive are caught up together with them, to be with the Lord in the air. And then the Lord makes a new heaven and new earth, the home of righteousness. And when He makes all things new in this way, the fullness at that time of the salvation that we have a deposit of, and it's a guarantee of the final glorious experience that awaits us. We have, at that time, we will experience what He says when He makes all things new. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more mourning. The old order of things have passed away and all things have become new. Currently, we have to face walking through the wilderness. We have to face crisis of famines, plagues, earthquakes, wars, pestilences of various kinds. And you can see, even with our great modern technology and the abundance within our society, how we are still fragile, mortal beings. But let's just remind ourselves, remind yourself, reflect back on the people of Israel when God led them forth through the wilderness. Many times they allowed what they were facing, what they could see with their eyes, and the difficulty of the situation, they allowed themselves to fall into murmuring and complaining through their lack of faith. That's left for us as a record. You and I can look and study that so that we don't follow their same example of disobedience. As believers, we know we're told to rejoice in the Lord always, and that in everything to give thanks. This is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. So even in this COVID crisis, we're to give thanks. We're to give thanks not for the crisis itself. We're to give thanks that we have a promise that regardless of what the outcome is for us personally or for our society, we're going to be entering into the land of promise where Christ Jesus sits on the throne and all things are made new. And so we can face the difficulties that we will encounter in this life with the help of the Holy Spirit. And we can, like Paul, we can come to this place where we understand, wow, that these tribulations, they produce in us an endurance. And an endurance will produce a character, a refining of our character. And that refining of our character produces in us a dynamic hope. See, because hope is that which a believer has through faith to anticipate the good that God will bring about through whatever difficulty we're facing. Because God has not promised to spare us from pain or from pressure or from problems. God has promised to work all things together towards a good. So as we go through tribulation, producing an endurance, this refined character, we come to this place where we have the hope, a steadfast hope. We've come to this place where there's a full assurance of hope that not only is God allowing this, and that God will work his own good through the difficult situation that we're facing, but that these difficulties are temporary, and that they're there to remind us not to fix our eyes on what is seen, because what is seen is just temporal. We have an unseen hope, a promise that awaits us. And Paul says, when we are aware of the exceeding greatness of the promise that awaits us, he said, our light and momentary troubles are not even worth comparing to the far exceeding weight of glory that's out there for us in our future. And so as a people of faith, we can encounter whatever difficulties we are going to experience through our wilderness journey in this world. And hopefully we can be like the two, like Joshua and Caleb, who against the other 10 spies, remember that Joshua and Caleb were the two men that were included in the 12 spies that were sent out to gather an assessment of the promised land and bring back a report and bring back some of the fruit. And when that group came back to report to the people of Israel, 10 of the spies, they all confirmed, even with Joshua and Caleb, they confirmed that the land was good and it indeed flowed with milk and honey. But 10 of the spies gave a bad report. And they just said that the difficulties of taking the land were too great, that the people who lived there were too strong, their cities were too fortified, they were too numerous, and that it wasn't possible. And the people, hearing this bad report, became so discouraged, they returned to their tents and murmured in their hearts, saying in their hearts that it was because that God hated them, that he brought them out of the land of Egypt to hand them over to the Amorites to be killed. Oh, and it grieved the heart of God. The Lord hearing this is when we are left this record where the Lord said, how long will these people refuse to believe in me? After all that God had done for them in Egypt, after every grace and mercy and miracle that they had seen going through the wilderness, he had given them water from the rock. He fed them manna daily. He even brought them quail when they murmured in their hearts about not having meat to eat. He caused quail to fall up almost knee-deep, a day's journey every direction in their camp. And they forgot. They didn't allow God's faithful mercies to produce in them a heart of trust. And that's when God swore with an uplifted hand that that older generation, the generation that had seen his wonders in Egypt, that had met with him at Mount Sinai and heard his voice, and that had seen his faithful mercies through their wilderness journey, that not one from that generation would ever enter into the promised land. But for every day that that 12 group of men explored, because they explored the land of Canaan, the promised land, for 40 days. And so for every day that they had explored the land and brought back this evil report, that generation would wander in the wilderness 40 years until the last of that generation that was held responsible had died. And then their children would be allowed to enter into the promised land, along with the two men, Joshua and Caleb, because the book of Hebrews says that they mixed with faith what they had heard. They heard God promise that he would go before them, that he would fight for them, that he would hand the enemies into their hands and enable them to overcome them, that they were not going to face what they were going to face alone. Joshua and Caleb mix what they had heard with faith. And those are the two that we are to imitate. So let me encourage you, during the whatever trials we face, whatever the situation is, whenever it might be safe for us again to open the church and gather together, whatever personal difficulty you or I might have going through a COVID crisis, either personally, like I have, I've lost my father, I've battled the disease myself. I don't know what's out there still to face. Some of you may be facing this battle with this virus in the future. Whatever it is we're facing, let's not be like the Israelites. Let's remember all that God has done for us, all of his mercies, and let's be led by his Spirit, the Spirit of faith. Let's give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Let's count it pure joy whenever we face trials of various kinds, because knowing that endurance needs to have her perfect work so that we can be mature and complete, lacking nothing. And if we lack wisdom, let's ask God in faith, and who gives to all generously without finding fault. He only asks that we ask believing, because the man who doubts that God cares and loves and wants to give him that wisdom, that man's like a wave, like he's a double-minded man, like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed, very unstable. And that person, the writer James says, should not think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. We are still on the journey. We're not in heaven yet. The world in this life is our wilderness. But remember, we have the presence of Jesus Christ in us. We have the scriptures to look back and see how God dealt with his people before. I encourage you, and I plan to kind of take us through possibly the book of Hebrews so that we can more in depth. This is just what's on my heart today to share with you, to remind you that, yes, we have been forgiven. We have been purchased by the blood of Jesus, just like the people of Israel were redeemed by the Passover lamb and delivered and purchased by God as his own people, snatched right out of the hand of the Egyptians. And God broke the power of Egypt. And just as God has broken the power of sin so that we are no longer enslaved, yes, we'll be tempted. Yes, this world is still corrupt. Yes, we have many difficulties to experience and to learn from as God leads us towards the promised land, the new heaven and the new earth that we're so looking forward to. But let's go from glory to glory. Let's review, study the scriptures. See what happened to that generation that was not believing, that did not trust, that did not give thanks, learn from that and do not imitate the wrong example. Remember those that were in Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the Hall of Fame, kind of the faith Hall of Fame. Imitate those who through faith obtained witness that God was pleased with them. And there were many of them. I encourage you, imitate those of faith. Do not be ruined, remember, by evil communication. Evil communication ruins good morals. And unbelieving communication, and some of that communication can be just facing all the dangers that we're facing and how horrible the situation is. And you begin to anticipate how terrible things might could be. Beware of that. Beware of that. Because even though the facts may be true, the giants were there in Canaan. The cities were fortified, well fortified. The population there was large. They were well established. It was going to be extremely difficult. And without the help of God, it would not have been possible. So be careful. Be careful that communication that might be accurate factually, make sure that it's not the evil heart of unbelief. Because that produces in others fear. The 10 spies gave a bad report, not because it was not factually inaccurate. They gave an accurate description of the difficulties that lie before the people of Israel. But they left God and faith out of their equation. 10 of them did. Joshua and Caleb had faith. And they're the ones who sought to encourage the people, say that the Lord would make the enemies bread for the people. And you know what? With Christ Jesus and God's promise to work all things together for good for us, many of our greatest blessings in our spiritual life come from the difficult situations that God leads us into. God has a purpose. He doesn't make it so easy for us that we never face a crisis. But he promises that he'll be with us every step of the way and that his grace is sufficient for us. And if we will learn and come to faith and believe him and follow the good example of those that by faith were pleasing in his sight, then we'll become like them. And in everything, we can give thanks. We can rejoice. And with hope, not even looking for everything to be perfect here during our wilderness journey, just knowing that the Lord is with us, knowing that the Lord is working his will in our lives, we can steadfastly continue to look for the new heaven and the new earth. If we fall asleep in Christ before that time, we reach the end of our journey. Our struggle is over. And the next thing we know, we close our eyes, we open them, we will be in the presence of the Lord. That's win-win. So whatever difficulty we face in this life, well, God's going to work in a way to cause it to be good for us, even if it's painful, even if it's prolonged, even if it produces in us a great sense of weakness. Paul, in his own situation, remember his story? He learned that, God was actually allowing something to cause him to feel weak. And so he realized that the Lord was allowing this sense of weakness so that he would not rely upon his own self. And he came to this place where he said, therefore, I will glory in the things that make me weak. For when I am weak, then I am strong in him. That should be our goal. To imitate men like Paul, to imitate men like Joshua and Caleb, and to learn. So I think we're going to go into a time when we do some more detailed study, and we look at the people of Israel, and we see how God led them out of Egypt. He saved them from slavery, and he brought them into covenant with himself, just like that's where we're at. Those of us who are in Christ have been forgiven. We are become sons and daughters of God. We are now free from sin. And now we're in this journey of seeking to grow in our understanding and in our knowledge of the Lord, learning to be led by His Spirit, to walk in His Spirit, to keep in step with His Spirit, and become more and more like Christ, to grow up into a complete, mature, faithful son or daughter in Christ, like Joshua and Caleb, and not like the people of Israel, that generation who was unbelieving and unfaithful and ended up provoking God to actually swear that they were not going to experience the promise He had desired for them. We want to make sure that we don't fall short of experiencing all the fullness of God's promises for us. And so until next time, I think I'll start in Hebrews chapter 1 on this coming Sunday. So if you want to anticipate that, why don't you read ahead? Study the first several chapters of Hebrews and let's fully benefit from what the writer of Hebrews sought to impart to those he was writing to. Until then, God bless you. And thank you again, those of you who have prayed for me. I feel almost 100%. I might still have a little shortness of breath, but after I am 61, I'm not quite as young as I used to be. And I am so grateful to be alive. I am so grateful for to have another day. I am so grateful for to have these opportunities with you, and let's make the most of the opportunity that the Lord gives us. God bless you.